And now for reading and writing and radio.
Hi, everybody. We're here in 1984 recording at my house. It's New Year's Monday. And there are several of my family here. There's Megan, who drew the little pictures in this year's manual, and Jillian, who's been on the Laugh Show this year, and other shows that some of you have heard from time to time. And then there's my grandbaby, Cressida, who is Jillian's daughter, but she's in another room, although she may come in and make some noise. And then we have the Hackett family, Joe and Irene Hackett, and their children, Gwen, Beth, Greg, and Josh. Now, Joe is a fifth grade teacher at Lincoln at Central School, and he's been with reading and writing and radio a long time, and you'll recall hearing his name and his students' names on our Reading Your Writing programs frequently. And they participated in last year's Jamboree, and they were on the TV show that we had and on the special night at Sangamon State on the Brooklyn stage. Our topic today is Tall Girl, and we're doing this program on account of Gwen Hackett. She's a lovely young woman, a senior in, where do you go to school, Gwen?
Hartsburg-Emden High School.
Hartsburg-Emden High School. And your father has been telling me about you for years, and he's been so very proud of you. And you are a tall girl. And so we're going to talk about what it is like to be tall and what's been your experience in growing up. Were you always taller than the other kids around?
For as long as I can remember, I was always the tallest in my class or the tallest wherever I went. It's pretty tall.
Mm-hmm. Did it at any time ever bother you and make you feel uncomfortable and unhappy, or were you pretty well adjusted to it right along the way?
For several years during grade school, I had a real problem with it because the boys would always, you know, tease me about my height. But in the past few years, I've had this feeling of superiority or something because so much taller, it feels great to be individual and original.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us how you've used your height in school.
Well, as an athlete, I've used it in volleyball, softball, track, and I also play basketball. People hand me books to put on shelves. I have all kinds of, you know, various roles in my school. They make mm-hmm. me do all kinds of things.
And I imagine now that you're going to be going to college that the schools are looking forward to have you come to play volleyball. And
one of the first things they look at is your height. They think that's, you know, prerequisite to how good you can be as an athlete, which is not necessarily so, but it's fine with me if they think that.
We were talking before we got the tape recorder turned on and had some pretty good jokes that were coming up, and we were saying, oh, we should have had those on tape. And as I recall, one of them was when you're out with your parents. No, Megan, you said to Gwen about the height of Joe and Irene.
That they're not as tall. She's taller than her parents.
And then when people say that to you, then you say,
well, I'm adopted, that's what I tell them. And that just makes me even more of a standout. They think that's really neat. Oh, she's adopted. But it's not true, it's just a joke. I tell them
mm-hmm.
that.
Well, we have friends in Vermont who have a very tall father and a mother who is, how tall would you say Audrey is? She's probably 5'7", 5'8". And they have two tall children, and Betsy is your height, which is a little over 6 feet. Mm-hmm. She's the youngest. But then Molly is only about 5 feet. She's a little shrimpy girl. So that when you see that family with these two tall kids, the tall mother and father, and then the 5 foot person, why you wonder, where did she come from? And it's the luck of the genes.
Mm-hmm.
And Audrey was saying, well, they'd gone to a wedding last summer, and there they had met a little old aunt, and she was the spitting image of Molly, or Molly was the spitting image of her, and apparently there had been some throwback to the genes that here Molly had ended up at 5 feet. Do you get people expecting you, as you said, to be an athlete or asking you about the games?
For some reason, they think I'm a brute. They think that the minute I stand up to a person, they think I'm going to hit them or something. They're scared of me. But that's, I don't think it's my personality. It's just they think, oh, a tall person, she must be tough. But that's not it at all. But they do ask questions like, do you play basketball? Or we could use you as a coat rack or something like that. I never wear green. I look like a tree.
And you get remarks on that?
Oh, I sure do.
Uh-huh.
Jolly Green Giant.
They used to kiss her about being Jolly Green Giant, and she'd come back at him and call him Little Sprout.
Now, I imagine you do get a bunch of those jokes. What was the one that we were just saying about where somebody said to the tall guy?
They ask, do you play basketball? And I say, no, but do you play miniature golf?
Yeah, that was it. Well, there are some things in this world that we simply can't control. And our body height is one of these things, or the shortness or
lack
so forth.
It, right?
Lack of it. And our body types, too. You know, some people are destined to be skinny, no matter how much they cram in the food, and some others are destined to be a plumper sort.
Now be careful.
All right. And we can change
true
it some with dieting, but basically we're still, what do you call them, endomorphic or mesomorphic or so forth types.
Ectomorphic.
And so it's hard on us when we feel that we are too anything, you know, to try to come to the norm. And people treat the norm as if, well, that's the right place to be. Megan,
you're talking about the average. You have the average, and then you have the norm, which is your normal curve. And
uh-huh.
The people on the ends of the normal curve.
The people on the ends of the normal curve are what?
Considered too tall or too short, even though they're normal.
Oh, yeah.
They're
okay.
Just not average.
Okay. Well, Megan, you were saying a minute ago that you always felt that you were too short.
I was always the shortest, the very shortest.
And then, how did that affect your schooling and your relationships and so forth?
Well, I was always the last on any team to get picked.
Whereas I imagine, Gwen, you were one of the first, right, to be picked?
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Well, they didn't realize how tough I was. When you're short, you have to be tough.
Yeah, Gwen doesn't have to be tough because she's tall. She can be the gentle green giant.
Everybody thinks she's going to hit him anyway, whether she hits him
so
or
you had
looks are deceiving, in other words.
And so Megan had to be a tough little cookie.
So that was a handicap, possibly.
Well, it didn't help me get picked on the team, just being tough, though. They still thought that since I was short, I couldn't play.
When did you begin to feel comfortable about your size?
When I started growing up, I'm a little bit more average now. I'm still small for an adult, but I'm not as tiny as I was growing up.
Yeah. And of course, there are some people that never do. Here in Springfield, was it, I think just last year, we had a convention of the little people, the midgets, the ones that are, I don't know what the top level is before you're kicked out of the society, but maybe it's 4'10 or something like that. They had a whole convention of the little people, and those are ones that never will get big enough to be accepted into what, the average world? Is that the word we use, Jillian?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's drawbacks of being short. You can't reach up onto the shelf. What are some of the other drawbacks, Megan, besides the team? Those were the only ones?
Well, being teased a lot.
What sort of teasing would you get?
Names. If people push you around and try to take advantage of you.
My dad is tall and my mother is short, and I can remember my father every so often, he'd sort of squat down so his head was on a level with mother, and he'd say, what does the world look like down here? What's the air like down here?
It's like, how's the weather up there? Yeah.
But my dad was a shrimp all during high school. He was very small for his age, and when he went to college, in between his freshman and sophomore year, he grew something like 6 to 8 inches and finally became a tall man. But he's always had a sort of a short man psychology, which I hadn't realized until sort of in his old age and was talking to him about things, that I realized how strongly these things affect you when you're young. And one of the stories that he would tell us, which seemed pretty cruel, and you know, there are lots of cruel things done. They would have a mock wedding that was considered an entertainment, and they would choose the biggest heftiest girl in the class to be the bride, and then they'd choose the littlest fellow to be the groom. And my dad was the groom. And I said, why did you go through with it then, if it was such a humiliating thing to have this mock wedding that they put on at school? And so he sort of shrugged and he said, well, you'd do anything to be in with the group, even if they're humiliating you. And now, of course, he laughs about it, and the bride is still living up there in Beloit, Wisconsin, too, and Mrs. Merkland is a hefty woman, but she's always been a handsome woman. So they both ended up living good lives, but they did have that humiliation in high school. We haven't asked you the drawbacks, Gwen. There must be some drawbacks.
Off the top of my head, I can think of, like, no pun intended. Shoe sizes and clothes sizes are real difficult to find. I wear a size 12 shoe.
Oh.
And I have to get an extra length in my sleeves is the worst.
They're really hard on the budget.
They're more expensive to buy larger clothes.
And then it makes the hand
downs. I imagine you know, if you were willing to shop men's, but they often aren't styled in ways that
plain pocket jeans.
Right.
it's harder to find dates, especially in my high school. I don't mean to put them down, but the boys in my high school aren't very tall, and I'm the tallest person in my high school, so finding dates is hard. Have to date out of town or something.
Well,
this is because the
boys feel uncomfortable with it.
Exactly. I wouldn't feel uncomfortable with a shorter date at all. Well, maybe a little, but I'm sure they would have a problem with that, the male ego.
But that's because our society has it that the men should be taller than the women.
It's a label.
And it's a label, and so therefore it makes it hard for dates. And of course, a very secure young man would not worry about that.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the fun kind to be around.
Have you done any sewing on your own, or is this a solution?
We try.
Mom does some.
I'm not terribly ambitious with a sewing machine.
But. Well, that's something that I finally turned to after finding nothing but little girl styles, and those are even few and far between in the small sizes. When you wear a size 5, then you don't find the good clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally started sewing too.
Out of self-defense.
So you wouldn't have to run around naked.
Yeah, so that I have some clothes to wear.
My daughter Demi had a problem that is too something. She had one foot that was too big, so that she couldn't wear an ordinary pair of shoes because they wouldn't match. One foot was a different size. And I understand that there is a society now that people can join and put in their shoe sizes, and then they mate you up with a buddy. If your left foot is too big, why, they find somebody that's got a right foot that's too big, and then the two of you could correspond and say, well, now let's get this pair of shoes, and then you buy two pairs and trade so that you end up with the right sizes for your feet.
That's a support group.
Well, Joe, how does it feel to be too short and too fat, huh?
Well, they sometimes say that I am, but I don't think I am. I told the kids, my kids, and ones at school that are teasing me once in a while that that's flexible steel that I have, but they don't. Sometimes they don't believe that, or they don't understand that. But I tease quite a bit at school too, and they tease me back. But the little ones, especially, I think, like Megan was talking about, I tease them about the Smurfs and the Munchkins and the Muppets and all kinds of things, and they take it pretty well. But
all of whom are shorties, right?
There's a lot of short ones that I have in my room just this year. And they're pretty good about it, but sometimes you have to. There's a fine line that you have to walk or watch so that you don't hurt their feelings. You know, that they're sensitive too, just like Gwen is about being tall.
Well, I think our point we were making is that Gwen isn't sensitive anymore.
She is some. She just.
What do you say? A little bit.
I haven't been insulted lately about my height, but I've felt excluded sometimes. I've been around short people who are all talking and I can't hear them. I literally can't hear them because I'm up too high. And I bend down and they go, oh, Gwen, stand up. So they don't.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
I did that when I was in high school because I was taller than most of my friends. And I thought I stood up straight, but I didn't realize when I was with them, I'd walk hunched-shouldered just mainly to be on eye level and hearing level with them.
because I wasn't really, my height didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
People constantly tell you to stand up straight. You're so pretty. You could be a model. I don't want to be a model, so.
I do think, though, that those people who are tall and then hunch.
It's very unattractive.
It's very unattractive, and I had assumed it was because they were feeling self-conscious and not wanting to be tall, but I see now that one of the reasons might be to get you down to where the action is.
Maybe that's why short people walk around with their noses in the air. Keep their chin up so they can see what's going on around them. Not being stuck up at all, just trying to see what's happening.
You're trying to smell all the smells that are up there with the rest of them.
I came on a book a number of years ago that was about a girl that was too fat. It was sort of a picture book. And it started out with all the cruel things that the kids said to her and did to her, and the teasing and the taunting and the, you know, fatty, fatty 2x4 and so forth. And then and the difficulty of buying clothes, having to get them on the big racks and so forth, and the miserableness of this little girl. I think it was a book by Susan Heller, and I think it was called Fat Girl. But it was a cruel book, and then she began to diet for some reason or other. She finally decided to, and I thought to myself, oh dear, this is going to be a book that's got a happy ending, and some of these things simply don't have happy endings. So she got her weight down, and finally she was accepted by everybody, and everything was hunky-dory. And then you turn to the last page, and it said, the kids don't tease her anymore. Now they're teasing somebody that's too tall. And what you realize, the kick at the end, is that the fat girl, you know, was able to diet and get herself down to average, but that if you're too tall, you know, short of cutting off your feet, which is a rather drastic thing to do, that's it, you know, and that you have to accept these things about yourself and not only live with them, but make the most of them and be triumphant about them, or else you're going to go spend all your life feeling crummy.
My dad has always said that a good way for instant weight loss is to cut off your head. That's a big joke of his. And one time, maybe I was complaining about being too tall or something, he said, well, just cut your head off, which made me feel a lot better.
Well, not everybody listening to this program is going to be taller than average, but every one of you probably feels too something. Too short, too fat, too skinny, too shy, too dumb, too poor at sports, too clumsy. So for your writing today, how about discussing with us when you have ever felt too anything, and how have you coped? One correction, at the start I said that Thursday is perceptual writing, and then I also said that the historical fiction class is Thursday night. That one is going to be Monday night. And so now I want to say thank you to Gwen and to all the Hacketts and to Megan and Jill for being on Reading and Writing and Radio today.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.